tonight, amen, about watch night. My wife already shared when she was praying how she gave her life to the Lord on watch night. And I was actually there that night that she gave her life to the Lord. It was actually my first time attending prayer, praise, preaching, deliverance. Amen. That was my very first time going to the church. And a couple of days later, I would give my life to the Lord and I would get saved. And I never thought, like they say, in a million years, I would be a preacher. Amen. Y'all, people look and they think that I got saved at 24 years old, y'all. I did not grow up in the church. And all of the things that I said I would not do, I find myself doing it. I find myself crying. I find myself wanting to shout, to run, to live for the Lord. The things I thought that I could live without, they don't matter to me no more. Amen. And I always had this vivid memory. We used to share, when we were in Americas, we used to share the church with another church. They would go in the morning service and we would come and have service in the afternoon. And every year at watch night, sometimes we would share the church. The two churches would come together and we would have watch night together. And our pastor, she would often preach first. Amen. And I always remember the other church. Some of y'all gonna get it, some of y'all not, because y'all didn't know her. But I just got to tell this story. She was an older lady. And they would look at her like she was crazy. She would say, "Son, I know they think I'm a clown." She said, "But I know what I'm talking about. I love Jesus." Amen. And when you really love the Lord, you look foolish to people. Amen. But you crazy, like I said a couple of Sundays ago, you crazy till you ain't crazy no more. Amen. And so on tonight, God has given me, amen, the title, A Purpose-Driven Disposition. And so for our visitors, I've been prepping the church for maybe 2 to 3 months with this title. And you see it on our shirts, Purpose-Driven, because God told us that 2026, we have to be purpose-driven. And so on tonight, he's given me the title, A Purpose-Driven Disposition. And a disposition is a person's inherent qualities of mind and character. Inherent means you just born with it. It comes to you naturally. Nothing that you got to do to obtain it is just in you. And God is calling for us in 2026 to have a purpose-driven disposition. And so if you were here on last Sunday, I talked to the church about your life. When you live for Jesus, your life should be a rhythm. You ever warmed your car up in the wintertime and it sounds funny till it get warm? It's like, oh, this thing, like I need to take that to the shop. But you, the longer you let it, it gets into this little, it gets into a hum. I thank God for my grandbaby. Her parents just discovered the little noise sounds, the water sounds and the white noise sounds. When they put her to sleep, she go to sleep to that humming. Your life in Christ should be like that hum. That thing should be so steady and so calm and so constant that everything that you do is driven by purpose. And so a lot of times in this seat as a pastor, many people, that's their one question. They trying to figure out that purpose thing. And it's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out. You were designed to bring God glory. Everything that you do should bring God glory. When people look at you, they should see Jesus. That's it. That's your purpose. Now, how you go about that, how I go about that, and how my brother right here goes about it, and how my brother right here goes about it, it might be totally, or somebody might sing. Somebody might be a construction worker. Somebody might be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor. How we go about doing that thing might be totally different, but the purpose is the same. To bring God glory. And so for the first part of this year, myself along with the ministers, they ain't heard this. We're going to be preaching through the book of Mark. Verse by verse, line by line, chapter by chapter. Verse by verse, line by line, chapter by chapter. And y'all, I love the word. I love the word. And the Lord gave me the book of Mark, because when you read the Gospels, Mark is the simplest one. It's the simplest one. It gets straight to the point. Every 1 to 10 verses, Mark just telling a story. He's just telling what happened in the life of Jesus. Now, when you read some of those other books, they give you more detail. Mark ain't trying to give you all the detail. Mark trying to get straight to the point. He's trying to take you straight to Jesus. And in 2026, we're going to have a sense of urgency to get straight to Jesus. Because you can go in your study time and read Luke and get into the details. But we gonna preach and we gonna teach and we gonna get straight to Jesus, because in 2026 we're gonna have a purpose-driven disposition. Everything that we need, everything that we're gonna do is gonna be driven by purpose. Now I'm speaking that, but you gotta choose that. I'm speaking it, but you got to choose it. Ain't nobody sprinkling no magic fairy dust that's going to make your life line up with God. You're going to have to choose what you want to do. You can be purpose-driven, or you can just be lazy, style, whatever you want to do. That's your right. God did not make us or create us to be robots. This life is a choice. It's a choice. I went back and I listened to the sermon from last year, Watch Night, and the title was What's in Store, and I preached from Hebrews 8, and I simply told everybody that the only thing that they had to do to be happy, to be fulfilled, to do was to make a choice to serve Jesus. And I'm here a whole year later saying the same thing. Why am I saying the same thing? Because the answers don't change, y'all. The answers don't change. And what I've discovered is a lot of times some people want the answer to change. Well, the answer is not the answer is Jesus. And it's not going to change. Sometimes you want money to be the answer. That ain't the answer, y'all. And I can't tell you. You can have all the money in the world, all the money you want, and it's still never going to be enough. Because you're going to be worried about losing your money, worried about somebody stealing your money, worried that somebody else got more money than you got, even though you got money. Money is not the answer. But the things that the Lord gives, the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to. The world can't take it away from me. A purpose-driven disposition. And on tonight, I'm working with the first 15 verses. So if you have your Bible, you don't have to stand. But if you have your Bible, if you got your, what I call it, your Bible phone, get your Bible phone, your paper Bible. I'm working with the first 15 verses, and I want to start with these verses. I read these verses over and over again for the last month, and these verses are going to talk about a person named John the Baptist. And I went line by line, and I just kept looking at John's life. And I said to myself, now here is a person with a purpose-driven disposition. Here is a person with a purpose-driven disposition. Now, I've already told you that Mark is going to take you straight to the point. If you want to get the backstory on John the Baptist, go read Luke 1. It's going to tell you how John was born. But I love where the story picks up in Mark, because we see a John who is fully, he's basically ready to go. He's ready to go. When you read Luke, you see that this, like, John came from a family of priests. Like, his father was a priest. But by the time we get to him, John has laid everything aside. He has laid everything aside to let the world know that Jesus, that the Messiah, is on his way. That's a person with purpose-driven disposition, with a purpose-driven disposition. They lay everything aside to let other people know that Jesus is on the way. I'm here to let y'all know that he's coming back, y'all. He coming back. Somebody might say, Pastor, they've been saying, I've been hearing my grandmama say Jesus coming back for years. He gonna come for somebody tonight. He came for somebody last week. He probably taking somebody right now. You might hear people say Jesus coming back. Oh, I got a long time to wait. You don't know that. You don't know that. You got to be ready when he calls your name. And so Mark 1 starts with this. It says, this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah. I told y'all, straight to the point. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, in quotation marks, look, this is what Isaiah says. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. So we see John standing in the middle of the wilderness, shouting at the top of his lungs, get out of the way. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And so I told y'all I read these verses over a month, over and over and over again, trying to see, Lord, show me how this describes a person that is purpose-driven. And I need y'all to understand, the reason that Mark quotes Isaiah is because he wants you to know the thing that he has for John to do, it has been in the making for a long time. When you think about your purpose, I'm trying to look y'all in the eyes and I'm pointing at you because I want you to know that I'm talking to you. Because sometimes you sit in church and you think the pastor talking to somebody else. I'm talking to everybody my finger hit. Whatever God has you to do to bring him glory, that thing been in the works for a long time. It's been in the work before you was in your mother's womb. And it's going to start, like, if you allow it to start, if you choose for it to start, if you make up your mind that, Lord, I'm ready, that thing it's going to happen just like God says it's going to happen. And it's not going to be nobody that can get in the way of the purpose that you have. What John had to do for God, God had that thing in the works for a long time. That's why Mark quotes Isaiah. He said it began just like Isaiah said it was going to start. Because he wants you to know that God can't lie. The things that God said he was going to do, he was doing them. And if he was doing them then, he can still do it now. The things, I didn't realize till I got old. I was old and I was already preaching. And then my daddy said, you know what? My mama said when you was first born that you was going to be a preacher. I was old. I was like in my 30s before he ever told me that story. But I was out there wilding in my 20s. I never thought I would be. But when I made up my mind, the thing that God had spoke through my grandmother came to be. You got something to do for the Lord. But in order to do it, you got to be purpose-driven. And so then I read that second verse, and it says that John was a messenger. Understand that you got a message on the inside of you. And I already told you, right, the purpose is the same, but the method is different. You have a message in you. We got some former drug dealers in here. We might have some drug dealers in here now. We got some people that struggle with sexuality in here. We got some addicts in here. We got some homemongers in here. We got some drunks in here. We got some folks that done some things and done seen some things in here. Right? And that's the message. You still got a message. The message becomes when God flips your life around, when he flips your life around, then you can tell another addict. It's hard for me. If I've never struggled with addiction, it's hard for me to even speak to that. I can't speak to that like you can speak. I can't speak to the streets like you might can speak to the streets. Right? But that's the message. And so you have a message on the inside of you. And that message should be, hey, Jesus is coming back. I was in the street. You need to get out the street. I was struggling with porn. You need this because he's coming back. Make straight. When it says that he's standing, prepare the way of the Lord. Anytime a king was coming through, he would come through with an entourage. We see it. We see celebrities get out of the car, and before they get out of the car, they got two or three folks standing at the door, right? So folk can't roll up. That's what John was. That's what a Christian is supposed to be like. Hope, like, I need to clean all this out the way so Jesus can get us a straight line to wherever he's trying to go. I need to have that mindset. I'm that focused. I'm that purpose driven that I'm going to set up the atmosphere and the things around me so that Jesus can get to where he is trying to go. Now when we read in that third verse, John is not in his house talking about Jesus. John is not online posting scripture. The word say John was in the wilderness. He was out in the street. He outside. Right? It says he is in the wilderness crying. He not in the place where everybody say. Right? The only reason you supposed to come to the church is to get the word to take it back to the street. I spend so much time trying to preach to people who supposed to have the word. You supposed to be able to come in here, get filled up, get load up, get some bullets, get some guns, get some, and then go out there and mow demons down. Tread on serpents. Walk with power. This just the gas station. This just the fill up spot. Talking about purpose driven. Right? We see John shouting, and he's not quiet like, hey, y'all, love Jesus. The word says he is shouting. He is bold, right? He is bold. He's shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. Get all your mess out the way. Get all that trauma out the way. Like, I'm like, I hope this word is stepping on your toes so that it's cutting through every excuse you got in your life. Because my God got an answer for all that stuff. So clear all the trauma out the way. I know daddy might have did something. Maybe daddy wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I know some stuff done happened.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like, I hope this word is clearing the way for Jesus to get to your heart on the night. John is shouting. That's the message. He said, clear the road for him. And in the fourth verse, it tells us that this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and he preached that people should be baptized. I love this part. He preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. He said they should be baptized to show that they had been forgiven of their sins. Some people think if I just get wet a little bit, it's going to wash the dirt off of me. No. You got to add, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. You got to mean that thing in your heart. Then when you go down in that water and you come up, you leave that stuff in that water. You leave that stuff in that water. So John preached, right, you know, if I'm going to baptize you in this water, you are telling the world that you have repented of your sins and that you have turned to God to be forgiven. The fifth verse says that a lot of people, all of Judea, including the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. Right? And I read these verses to y'all because I told you in a few of the previous verses that John was in the wilderness shouting. But it also says that he was out there baptizing. Why is that important? Because he was doing more than talking. It's one thing for me to stand up here and shout at y'all, but I also have to do something. So John says, I'm willing. Not only am I out here shouting, but come, whoever will, and we'll dip you in the water. I'll baptize you as an outward sign. John was willing, not only willing to talk, but he was also willing to do. I told one of my classmates that the problem with a lot of Christians is they do too much talking. We talk too much. We post too much. We always got something to say and comment on how somebody living and what they doing and what they shouldn't be doing, and they ain't saved because they doing this and they ain't doing it. But what you doing? Just live your life like, live like Jesus. Live like Jesus so much that somebody say, bro, you different. Why I gotta talk at you for you to know that I serve the Lord? Why I gotta beat you over the head with scriptures to let you know that I serve the Lord? You should be able to tell that I'm different. It should be the way that I walk that make you want to have a conversation with me, so when I open my mouth, you more apt to listen. So you know, there's some people that talk so much, they might be saying something good, but you talk too much, I don't even want to listen to you no more. And that's the problem. When you have a purpose-driven disposition, talking about like loving the Lord and living for the Lord is just, this just what I do. I ain't trying to do this. I ain't trying to impress y'all. This is just what I do. This is what this John is like. This is just what I do. This, I stand out here and I say, the Lord is coming. This is what I do. John out there, he's shouting. He's baptizing. The people are coming to him. They went out there, they say, that man, wow. He's standing out here shouting. He baptizing. They went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. We baptize people when they join the church. Oh, you want to join the church? You can dip in the water. Ain't nobody even confessed no sin yet. You joined the church, so I'm going to baptize you. No, what you confessed? What you confessing? When you gonna say, Lord, I need to be saved. I want to be different. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of feeling this. I'm tired of holding grudges in my heart. I'm tired of unforgiveness. I'm tired of anxiousness. Lord, I did stuff wrong. It's at the point now where, like, I tell my testimony and stuff. It makes me feel good. I told y'all a couple of Sundays ago that my struggles have totally changed from when I got saved. When I first got saved, I was still coming out of, I'm smoking, I'm drinking, I'm hoeing. I was off in college stealing, doing all kind of stuff, committing felonies. Stuff you don't think of felony, but you know when you steal over enough stuff, it's a just out there doing. So all of that type of stuff, them little behaviors were changing when I first got saved. I ain't even wrestling with it. I don't even have the desire to do that no more. The first time I saw porn, I was in the seventh grade. Over my friend's house in the summer, he done got the VH the tapes from under the daddy bed and the mom and daddy, and we in there watching this. Like, who got, I'll tell every story you want me to tell, because I ain't the same no more. I ain't the same no more. He's coming back, and I don't know about y'all, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. The word says that when they confess their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. The sixth verse say his clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. Why would they even put a description of this man's clothes in these verses? Because Mark wants you to know John didn't care about none of that. I still work a 9-to-5. I ain't trying to steal y'all money at the church. I ain't trying to buy no new car, no new house, and go on vacation with y'all time. Pay your tithes. I'm going to use them to buy dish detergent and washing powder for folk. I'm going to cash out people in the jail. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do with the money, because I ain't got time to go to hell for 10%. I don't. The Bible tells us that John is out here with some camel hair on and a leather belt around his waist eating bugs, because I don't need all of that. I just want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. This man was purpose driven. And he had the mindset in that seventh verse. He had the mindset to say in the seventh verse, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. Y'all, none of this. When you have a purpose-driven disposition, nothing is about you. Because you realize, I done told y'all, if you want to know something, they'll call me. I'll tell you another story. But I done told y'all the stuff that I have done. There is nothing in me that makes me say I'm worthy to have X, Y, and Z, and I deserve it. If I had a got what I deserve, I would have wrecked my car when I was driving down 75 high. If I had a got what I deserve, I would have got arrested when the person I was stealing with got arrested. Lord, thank you, he wasn't no snitch. If I had a got what I deserve, I would have had HIV, AIDS, herpes, all kind of stuff. If I would have got what I deserve, I would have had babies out here. Out of wedlock. Like, stuff could have went so many more different ways. So who am I to say? Or who am I to judge? I ain't judging nobody, but one thing I'm going to do is stand up here and tell you he's coming back. You need to be ready. I don't care what your sin is. Call it whichever one you got. I don't care which one it is. He coming back for you. You got to be ready. It's not my job to judge you. It's my job to let you know you got to have a purpose-driven disposition. You got to make up in your mind that I'm through wasting time and I'm going to live my life for Jesus. John saying, I ain't worthy to like some of us, we won't even tie a child's shoe. Why they tie your shoe? You don't know how to tie a shoe yet? We won't even do that. We'll see trash on the ground and won't even pick it up. Right? That might not even sound like a big deal, but the reason I'm saying that, when you talk about stooping down the tower, why is that? Because you got to get down on your knees. You got to bend down. You got to humble yourself. You got to lower yourself. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to stoop low. But let me tell you, every knee gonna bow. Every tongue gonna confess that Jesus is Lord. You can either do it now voluntarily. You can do it now voluntarily. Or when that sky crack. And you like, oh, Lord. And you don't know what to do but fall. Woo. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. John saying, I ain't worthy to untie the straps on his sandals. He say, I'm baptizing you with water. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We talking about power. We're talking about power. We're talking about wonder working, miracle working power. Jesus is willing to give that to old sinful you. He'll give you old you, old drunk you, old nasty you, power. Power to clean up, power to live right, power to forgive, power to walk right, power to talk right, power to make stuff happen, confidence to talk, confidence to speak. See, the devil wants you to feel condemned. The devil wants you to feel guilty. But Jesus hung his head on the cross and said, it's finished. All you got to do is accept it. He'll give you power. John say, I'm glad that you confess your sins, and I would dip you in the water as an outward sign that you are changed. But Jesus is going to, when he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, folks going to know you for real then. I seen people go in the water and still don't change. But when they had the Holy Ghost, when you get the extra fries and you take them back because you weren't supposed to get the extra fry, then you change. He gonna live like y'all gave me an extra fry, y'all know that. Cause what they gonna say? We can't take them back, you can keep them. But check your heart though.
Yeah.
Right? Check your heart though. Lord, I thank you. John say somebody else coming. He's greater. He gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so in the ninth verse, like I told you, the scene switches because Mark gets straight to the point. It say one day, John out there doing his thing. John is out there being purpose driven. And Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. And John baptized him in the Jordan River. And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what these verses tell us is that the Messiah has arrived. What you mean? So in John's day, John was preaching about something that the people were waiting on that they have not seen yet. They like, we've been waiting. We waiting on where the Messiah, where the Messiah, where the John, like, he coming, he coming. Like, but where he at though? He coming, but I don't see him. Where he at? He coming, he coming. And then one day he shows up. And he say, "John, hey, baptize me." And John baptizes him. And the heavens split apart and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son, and I love him dearly." And it was announcing to the world that the Messiah has come. So what this got to do with us? Because somebody right now, tonight, in 2025 is telling you he's coming, he's coming. But where he at, though? But where he at, though? He coming. And when he cracked the sky, this time he not coming to do the same thing that he came to do before. He's coming to judge. He's coming to call back his own. He's coming to take his own with him to a mansion not made by hand. Just like I told y'all a couple Sundays ago, Noah was crazy until he wasn't. When you read the Bible, it's nothing. Just the same way you got cycles in your life, the Bible runs in cycles the same way. And for every time they say Isaiah crazy, Peter crazy, Paul crazy, all of them was crazy until they went crazy. You might be thinking Pastor crazy. They call Pastor Carter a clown. Hallelujah. And then you start to see how some of their lives turn out. You start to see how some of their lives turn out. And I'll be saying, yeah, she was a clown until she wasn't a clown, wasn't she? He's coming back. And you have to be purpose-driven. And so when you are purpose-driven, you've made up your mind, you're making up your mind tonight, and you're saying, "Lord, I'm ready." And let me tell you something. You might be like, I told the church last Sunday, I say sometimes, when we think about making a decision, we're so focused on the end. We thinking like, "Whoo, that thing look far. I don't know if I can start because it looks, the end looks so far away." God is not asking you to jump from right here to the end. He's just asking you to make the decision to start. Now, the decision to start, is you might have to, like, when babies come out. My mama bear gonna know about this. Y'all ever watch National Geographic? Y'all ever seen a baby deer get born? That thing be wobbling, leg be all over the place, can't stand up straight. When you come to life, when you make the decision, God is so good. He's so good. When you make the decision, you gonna be wobbling. You ain't gonna know how to stand up straight. You ain't gonna know how to get right. But that ain't the point. The point is that you make the decision. Eventually, you're going to be able to run with the best of them. Yeah. You're going to be able to run with the best of them. You're going to be able to mount up wings like eagles. Eventually, stop thinking about how hard the end going to be. Stop thinking about what you're going to have to lose and think about what there is to gain. So when Jesus comes out of the water, because this is what happened, let me tell you, because I don't want y'all to be disillusioned, right? I don't want y'all, I'm giving y'all all the references I got, but it's showing my age and it's showing when I stopped. There used to be, you know, there used to be a song, I want to say it's Escape, Is My Living in Vain? Y'all like old R&B. Right? You don't want your living to be in vain. You're going to suffer regardless. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You're going to suffer regardless of what you do. So everything that I'm talking to you about, if you decide that you're going to make a choice to be purpose-driven tonight, I'm not trying to fool you. You're going to go through something. You're not going to make the decision then like, oh, I'm saved now with everything and I got what I want and everything is perfect. And no, it's going to be like Usher said. She said, now my life ain't by no means perfect, and my life ain't all the way right, but I'm thankful that I got more Jesus now than I had then. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what the Christian walk is all about. Because I want you to understand that when Jesus came up out of the water, that 13th verse says, let me go back, that 12th verse says, the Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. You might get saved in the church tonight, but guess what happened at 12 o'clock? You ain't got to go home, but you got to get out of here. So you're going to go right back to the word that you came from. You might make the decision, Lord, I'm going to be totally different tonight. And then you're going to go right back to that job tomorrow. And the world didn't make the same decision that you made. Your friends and your mom and your uncle and them, they make the same decision, right? But you thinking because you say, now everybody got to get their life right. That ain't how it works. That ain't how it works. The word says that the Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. Why? Because in order for faith to be real, faith got to be tested. In order for your salvation to be real, something got to try to take your life. And then when you see that it tries to take your, when you see that Satan is forming weapons, but they're not prospering. Like he got all the guns aimed at you, but it won't work. It won't work. Then you start to get a little bit bold. You're walking, see, like you start like, oh, okay, I see you saying, but that ain't going to work. The Spirit, right? Why is it, why, like, and it's doing this because I need y'all to understand the man with the most purpose-driven disposition is Jesus Christ. Jesus came out the water and say, I'm going to, see, I ain't even asking y'all, I'm not asking y'all to get saved tonight and then turn into a preacher tomorrow. But Jesus come out the water and say, I'm going to the wilderness. I got work to do. When he was 12 years old and his parents were looking for him, he said, don't y'all know I'm about my father's business? He been about it. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to be about it. Stop talking about it. Stop posting about it. Stop trying to make people be saved. You just be saved. You be right. And everything else, God gonna take. God is the one doing all the saving. He's the savior of the world, not you. All he needs you to do, you a mirror. All he needs you to do is reflect his glory. The word say, if he be lifted up, if your life lift him up, he gonna draw everything. And it ain't gonna be when you want it. Y'all don't know how many years my wife and I prayed to see my son sitting right there. That thing went quick. Right? But we got to a point where we said, we can't save him. God, he belongs to you. And then you trust. And then you pray. And then you fast. You got to have a purpose-driven disposition. I don't care what the world do. I'm not folding. I'm going to stay with it. Jesus comes out of the water. He goes into the wilderness. And the 13th verse says, That's where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Some of us couldn't be tempted for 4 hours. Giving in. I don't know, I feel bold tonight.
Yeah,
we get in the booty car, we rolling. We out the door. Please don't go to the club tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in your mind. Right? You done heard this whole word. You ready? 8:09, or wherever, Big Daddy. You ready? Please don't go. Please don't go. We can't even be to like the temptation. Jesus, 40 days straight. 40 days, 49. He was out there with the wild animals, the killers, the gorillas, the angels took care of him. The world is a deadly place.
Amen.
The world is a sinful place. And when you halfway living right, you don't even see the real dirt. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When you halfway right, you don't even be where the real stuff. There's certain parts of time that I don't go in. I just ride through. But I don't go down the side street where there ain't no lights. You understand? Like, I'm just cruising through. So I don't see what's really happening down them streets. But the world is a wicked place. Jesus came out of the water, and that's where he went. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was out amongst the wild animals. But the word says the angels took care of him. The angels took care of him. The only way that you make it in this wicked world is somebody is looking out for you. Somebody. God is looking out for you. That's the only way you make it. You might be thinking, ooh, I'm lucky. You ain't lucky. Grace, mercy. Grace, mercy. Hallelujah. And then in the 14th verse, the scene switches again for the third time. And I'm almost done, Ethan. These are my last two verses. It says later on, Jesus was in that wilderness. I told you, Mark being straight to the point. Just jump out there 40 days. But what happened to 44 days? Read another book. It'll tell you how Satan tried to tempt them. But this ain't got the details in it. You just jump on. It say later on, after John was arrested. So what does this tell me about a person that's purpose-driven? They're going to go through something. If y'all notice in the beginning, the words say, the folks who are coming from all around, they want to hear what John had to say. But John kept talking about them sins. Like, I'm cool with you saying that one or two times, Pastor, but every time I see you, you keep telling me to live right. And you keep telling me to be holy. And you keep telling me to clean up. And you keep telling me to stop doing this and stop doing that and live for Jesus. Now, I was cool the first time because it felt good and I really needed to hear a positive message. But you keep coming at me over and over and over again with holiness and holiness. I'm tired of you. Tired of the church. I don't want to hear that message no more. Why you can't tell me my blessing on the way? Because you're not living right. You can't be blessed. That would be a lie. That would be setting you up to go to hell. You thinking you good and you're not. So the word says later on, John was arrested. Jesus went into Galilee and he began to preach God's good news. The time promised by your God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. And here is the difference, and I'm done, Ethan. Here is the difference in the two messages. John was saying the Messiah was coming. Jesus was saying the Messiah is here. I'm telling you that he's here. We're not living in a time where we got to wait on him to come get us. All you got to do is make up your mind to be purpose-driven. He's here. John went like, the messengers, they just like, my message is different from John. I'm not telling you that he's coming. I'm telling you that he's here. John did what he was supposed to do. That was his purpose. That was how God ordained for him to bring glory. Tell him that I'm on my way. But now that he's here, it should be every Christian's personal mission to let somebody know that the Savior is here. That he's here. That he's still saving. Jesus told the people, the kingdom of God is near you. They were looking and lying around like, where it at? He like, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. Believe on me. Believe on me. Come with me. Watch me raise Lazarus from the dead. Everybody in here agrees. If you raise Lazarus from the dead, he can raise whoever you worried about. But let me tell you something. If you really love people, you're going to tell them about Jesus, because Lazarus was a believer. His sisters were believers. We want the promises of God without being believers. That's your choice now. It's your choice whether you want to believe or not. But please understand, the promises of God belong to the believers. And you ain't got to be all the way right to believe. You just got to make up your mind that I want to be right. That I want to be right. A purpose-driven disposition. A purpose-driven disposition. Your mind made up. You're trying to do the right thing. Walk the right way. Talk the right way. Notice I said try. God is not a fool. He's not a fool. He'll allow the trying for so long. But he knows when you're trying to play him. A purpose-driven disposition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in the house, amen, that would love to give their life to the Lord on tonight.